The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so good evening, brothers and sisters. I hope I'm not stomping on anybody here by standing up and doing the readings, but as best I can tell, there was nobody to do the readings. And I hope I didn't, like, preempt the choir, but as best I can tell, there was no choir. So, you know, I just started. So hopefully you'll forgive me. Jesus says to his apostles, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God. Have faith in me." I think we need to give a much, much closer look to that statement. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Because let's face it, everybody these days is carrying a very troubled heart. And I'm convinced of this. The words that Jesus says to his apostles here at the Last Supper, he says to you personally, do not let it happen. Don't let your heart be troubled. Let's take a closer look at that statement, okay? First thing we want to understand when we look at that statement is that Jesus is speaking in the imperative. Do you know what that means? That means that this is not a suggestion. That means that this is a commandment. God commands you to pray, but he forbids you to worry. St. Francis de Sales once said, and this is one of the places in which he does it. Now understand, whenever God commands anything, remember two things, okay? Whenever God commands anything, remember two things. Number one, he never commands what's impossible. And number two, if he commands it, he's going to give you everything you need to carry it out. So Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You can be convinced of this. When he says those words, he is not commanding an emotion. It's not as though Jesus is saying, now, don't let yourself get upset about anything. Because that's an emotion. Are your emotions under your direct control? No, they're not. Emotions are like the weather. They just happen, right? If Jesus were to say, now don't let yourself get upset about anything in the world, he would in fact be commanding something that's impossible. But he's not saying that. You're going to get upset, aren't you? Yes, you are. About all kinds of things. You're going to get upset about things that happen at home. You're going to get upset about things that happen at work. You're going to get upset about things that you read about in the news that are going on all around this crazy, crazy world in which we all live. That's not what matters. What matters is not that you get upset. What matters, rather, is what you choose to do about it. And Jesus tells us right here, have faith. in me. And by the way, if you want to know where your faith is weak, just ask yourself one question. What do you worry about? What do you worry about? Do you worry about the news? Do you worry about international events? That's where your faith is weak. Do you worry about what other people think about you? That's where your faith is weak. Do you worry about your money? Do you worry about God's providence? Do you think it's real, or do you think it's just a pious fairy tale? That's where your faith is weak. It's just a little insight, you know? If you want to know where your faith is weak, ask yourself what it is that you worry about. And Jesus tells us, now listen, look at me. I'm convinced of this. Most of our problems would be solved, if we learned how to live our lives looking to God, if we learned how to live habitually in God's presence. You go through the Bible, you find this time and time and time again. Anytime anybody gets into trouble, they've forgotten God, right? From the very beginning. Adam and Eve, what's the very first thing they do? They forget who they are, and they fall into sin. St. Peter in the New Testament, Jesus says, come on out and walk on the water, come to me. Peter does just fine as long as his eyes are on the Lord. As soon as he takes his eyes off the Lord, he starts to sink. One of my favorite meditations, you might like this too, is from Psalm 34. And it says, look to God that you might be radiant with joy. Now ask yourself this question. Are you radiant with joy? Don't answer out loud, okay? But are you radiant with joy? And if the answer isn't yes, you might want to ask yourself whether you're looking to God or not, right? Whether you're looking to something else, like the news or what people think about you. Keep your eyes on the Lord. You say, what does that mean? Well, right here in this gospel, our Lord tells us how to do it in words that he says to St. Thomas. Now, let me just digress for just a second and tell you something about St. Thomas, okay? St. Thomas the Apostle only speaks four times in all of Scriptures. Only four times. But every time Thomas opens his mouth, I'm telling you, it's pure gold. First time Thomas opens his mouth, Jesus has just announced to his apostles that he must go to Jerusalem where he will be killed. And Thomas speaks up and he says, let us also go with him that we might die with him. Now, is Thomas remembered for those words of bravery? No. No, he's not. He's remembered for the next thing that he says. You know how it goes. When Jesus was raised from the dead, and everybody see the risen Jesus except for Thomas, and they go up to Thomas and they say, Thomas, Thomas, we've seen the risen Lord. Thomas says, I'll believe it when I see it, right? Thomas is from Missouri. He'll believe it when he sees it. And then he sees the risen Lord, lo and behold, and he places his fingers into the nail marks in his hands and his feet and into his side, and he utters the immortal words, my Lord and my God. The first time in the Scriptures anyone explicitly confesses the divinity of Jesus Christ, and it comes from none other than our very own doubting Thomas. And then the fourth time Thomas speaks is right here in the Scriptures. Now let me give you the context of what you just heard, okay? It's the Last Supper. And not only is it the Last Supper on Holy Thursday, but it's the most distressing moment in the whole Last Supper. Because Judas Iscariot has just quit. He's just left the room to betray Christ the Lord. And no less than Jesus himself has said to St. Peter, you will deny me three times this very night. So everybody's terribly upset. That's when Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God, have faith in me. Where I'm going, you know the way. And Thomas speaks up. He says, Lord, actually, we don't know where you're going. Right? We don't know the way. Can I give you a little tiny bit of spiritual advice here this evening? Just a little bit of spiritual advice. Always be honest with God in prayer. You know, most people, they go to pray, they dress up their words in pietistic, often syrupy language because they think to themselves that that's somehow the way they're supposed to talk to God. That's the way God wants to be addressed. Well, you know what? God already knows what you're thinking. You might as well pay him the compliment of being honest, right? Just like St. Thomas. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we possibly know the way? And the Lord rewards his generosity, his honesty, handsomely, doesn't he? With this phrase that tells us what it means to keep our eyes on the Lord. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Now, you've heard that many times before. But do you know what it means? You should know what it means. As Christians, we should know what it means. Let's take a closer look at it, okay? Because it tells us what it means to keep our eyes on God, and that's pretty darn important stuff. First thing Jesus says, I am the way. Now, what does that mean? You know, if you want to know the way to get from point A to point B, there's a couple of things you can do. First thing you can do is you can ask somebody to give you directions. And they'll tell you where to go. They'll say, go down the street a couple of miles, you'll come to a stoplight, turn left, follow that road, etc., etc. That's one way to get from point A to point B. But there's another way. Imagine for a moment that you could travel with a local. Imagine for a moment that someone says to you, let me come along with you. I'll bring you there myself. When Jesus says, I am the way, that's what he's saying. Let me come along with you, and I'll bring you there myself. Bring you where? Bring you where? Well, heaven, ultimately, but more than just that, he also wants to bring us, even right here in this life, to the peace that your heart is yearning for. Now, very few people will openly admit that they live lives of quiet desperation. What was it? Henry David Thoreau. He said, the majority of men lead lives of quiet desperation. Or as St. Augustine once said, you've made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. You got a restless heart here this evening. You know, it's a sign that you haven't yet rested in the Lord. And you want to hear him as he says to you, I am the way. He's not just the signpost. He's the destination. That's what it means to be with him. And he says, I am the truth. Now, what does that mean? It's the same question that Pilate asked the very next day, Good Friday. What is truth? Quid est veritas, right? What is it? I once had a man come into my office. He said to me, you know, I think we all invent our own truth as we go along. You've got your truth and I've got my truth. We all make up our own truth as we go. And I say, that is absolutely false. He says, why? How do you know? I said, because if we make up our own truth as we go along, why in the name of God would we make up such a sad and miserable story as this? Right? I mean, if we're making it up as we go along, don't you think we could have dreamt up something better than what we're living in? No, we don't make up our own truth. Truth is reality. You don't make it up. You bump up against it and you discover it. Then you got a choice to make. Either you're going to conform your life to the truth that you've discovered, or you're going to suffer and you're going to make other people suffer as well as you continue to kick against the goad and insist on your own way. You know, I like to play piano. Only one reason in the world I can play piano. Only one reason in the world I can play piano. Is because I'm obedient to the truth of the laws of music. The laws of chord progressions and meter and harmony and rhythm and all the rest. Only because I'm strictly obedient to all that am I free to make music. When Mass is over, you'll walk outside, you'll look up into the sky, maybe you'll see a plane flying through the air. The only reason anyone is free to fly through the air in an airplane is because somebody somewhere was strictly obedient to the truth of aerodynamics and metallurgy and physics and chemistry and all the rest. Something like that happens in the spiritual life as well. Jesus says, if you abide in me, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I'm talking about deep inner spiritual conviction here. I once knew somebody who knew Mother Teresa. I said, what's she like? She says, the one thing I tell you about Mother Teresa is she's so free. She's so free. Her spirit is free. Why? Because the truth is not something. The truth is someone. And he being known. And he sets you free. Last thing he says, I am the life. What the heck does that mean? Very strange thing for a man to say on the night before he dies. Wouldn't you agree? I am the life. Well, you know in Greek there's two words for life. two words for life. There's bios and there's zoe. One refers to the life of the body. The other refers to the life of the soul. You ever considered that there's two different kinds of life in you right now? The life of the body and the life of the soul. They're not the same thing. I go into the hospital, I see people with very little life of the body, right? Maybe they can barely even raise their small finger. But man, they can be alive spiritually, let me tell you. And haven't you seen the contrary? People who, by every physical expression and visible appearance, are filled with life and vitality and radiance, and yet their spirit drags through the gutter, barely alive. Jesus says, I am the life. You will never find a sour-faced saint. Never. If they're a saint, they're joyful. Irrepressibly joyful. And this in spite of the fact that they lived their lives in some of the harshest circumstances. I mean, the saints really suffered. Study their lives. You know, they lived in poverty and want and discrimination and etc., etc., etc. And then, you know, you find by contrast people in this world who by every external measure should be perfectly happy. They got plenty of money, they got plenty of power, they got plenty of physical pleasure, everything anyone could possibly ask for, and they're terribly, terribly unhappy. Why? Because Christ isn't their life. That's why. And they're dying from the inside out. And Jesus says, don't let it happen to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Keep your eyes on me. Our Christian story is the only one in the world which can only be understood when you read it backwards. You have to start at the end and then read backwards. You want to understand the Christian message? Anybody ever asked you, how do we know the Christian message is true? Start with the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, then go back and look at his sufferings. Then go back and look at his teachings. Everything falls into place. And as it was in the life of the Lord, so it is in our spiritual lives as well. Keep your eyes on him, and your heart will find peace. Amen.